of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is salvation? Salvation is the fullness of the experience of God's immeasurable love. Salvation is the fullness of the experience of God's love. This is what we look forward to in eternal life. But we only receive this from God if we want it. Today's gospel is not simply about doing good works. We so often hear this gospel about we need to go out and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, etc., etc. We should do that, yes, definitely. But it's the story, really, in this gospel of God's love and those who want it and those who don't want God's love. It's the story of two loves, of God's sacrificial love and of my own self-love. In the beginning, we were made for love. This is why we exist. This is what our purpose is in life, is love. And when we say love, we mean the love that is defined by God, by who God is, that sacrificial love. In this wonderful little book I quoted from last week, A Parable of the Prodigal Son, a commentary by Hermann Gregorius, he says this: the purpose of creating the world and man was to make him a communicant of divine love. Our purpose is to become communicants of divine love. This is why we were created. This is why all of creation was created, as an expression of God's own love. However, we have a choice before us. But once again, Hermann Gregorius says, God is love and man was created in the image of God. Therefore, man is an image of love. Man resided in paradise in order to partake of God's love, because paradise is the love of God, and eternal life is the love of God. Man, however, did not honor the divine gifts and chose death instead of life and hate instead of love, or we could say self-love instead of love. Likewise, the prodigal son left the paradise of love towards a far country. He moved away from the father who loved his children and from the blessed house of paternal love. So that house of paternal love is the place where humanity began in paradise, and it's the place where, God willing, humanity can end in eternal life. We were made for love, and love is our purpose. But we see in the parable that we saw last week of the prodigal son that we have this desire in us to turn away from the love of the father's house, to turn away from the love of God. And we might think of that word prodigal as like someone being with harlots or sexual sin, but actually the word itself, asotos, it's very poignant. You know, we say, sosonimas, save us, O Son of God. That word sos is about salvation, about being saved. And asotos is the word we translate as prodigal. So it really means anything that is non-salvific, anything that is against salvation. That's what being prodigal means, asotos. And our life in pursuit of the passions is that life of the prodigal. Now, what are the passions? The passions are those desires that we have in us that turn us away from God. But the interesting thing about the passions, and this is how we can tell when things are passions, is that they're never really fed, just temporarily. We might feel, oh, that was a really tasty meal, but then we're hungry again. We want more of that. That was sweet, was really nice. Or binge watching that show was really good, and now I'm done with it. Now I need more, and I need more, and I need more, and I need more. This is the nature of the passions. It's very poignant that the prodigal son was sitting in hunger. After he had lived his prodigal life, he was in hunger, he was in want. And all of us, when we pursue prodigal ways, unsalvific ways, will never be satisfied. So last Sunday was about the one who returned to the love of the Father. But this Sunday is about those who do not. Because it's very poignant in the gospel. What is the foundation of the world? Then he goes on to talk about feeding the hungry. The kingdom that was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. So that paradise that God created for all of humanity, and then the eternal life that he is giving at the end of time on that final judgment day, it's all the same journey that God has been trying to bring us along. Now, to those who chose not to pursue God's love, he says to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell was never prepared for us. Hell was never intended for us. It's not the place we're supposed to be. Why? Because we were created as an image of love, as an image of God who is love. So we were created to be in that place of perpetual love. But we don't always choose that way. So why, in light of this, would anyone choose to pursue what is not God's love? It's because we prefer our selfish desires. We prefer, rather, hell. Now, we don't get the full experience of hell in this life, but in this life, if we look closely, we can see that taste of it. That's why we're never satisfied. That's why we always want more and more and more of these things in this world, is because we're trying to pursue something that will not fulfill us. And we can't begin to make that journey until we begin to see, this isn't going to fulfill me. I do this thing, and it doesn't actually fulfill me. Most of the time, I do the thing and I say, oh, that was fulfilling. How wonderful. But then I have the hunger again, and the hunger again and again and again. So that pursuit of self-love is ultimately revealed in a life, an eternal life of self-love, which is a life that is devoid of God's love. But God ultimately gave us freedom, because freedom is essential within that equation of love. Higher Monk Gregorius says once again, God as Father, on account of true love, gave his children the freedom to choose between the paternal homeland and the land of sin, between life and death. And then he quotes Deuteronomy, "Behold, I have set before you this day life and death, good and evil." And he continues saying, God wants all of us to be saved. Again, all of us. None of us were intended to go to hell. He wants all of us saved, but he does not keep us close to him by force. The Heavenly Father accepts our choice and even allows us to leave the hearth of the paternal love. However, from the moment of our mistaken choice, his love awaits our return. He wants us to choose life. However, he accepts whatever choice we make. If we decide to leave him for a far country, since he knows the outcome of our journey, he offers his divine gifts with grief. So God does not withhold his gifts from us, even in this life when we choose self-love, when we choose self-gratification, he still doesn't withhold his gifts from us because he's that loving of a God. But he offers the gifts, as Hermann Gregorius says, he offers the gifts with grief, knowing that we're going to squander them, knowing that we're going to misuse and abuse them. That's like what St. Paisios, in the quote I read last week, he says, I don't want to go to hell for no other reason than to not grieve Christ, who would see me in hell and grieve. This is the grief of sacrificial love, that sacrificial love that is willing to bear even the horrible decisions that the beloved makes. But this is how God is. So in freedom, he gives us that choice. And then in eternal life, or rather on the judgment day that we heard about in the gospel today, on that judgment day, we see what we really wanted. Judgment day is not anything arbitrary, but God saying, actually, this is where you need to go. Rather, Judgment Day is the day on which we ourselves are truly revealed. Our hypocrisy, we come to church and then we go home and do very different things, things far from God. And this is what will be revealed to us on Judgment Day. So Judgment Day is ultimately us seeing what we really want. And that's what's terrifying about Judgment Day. What do you really want? Because I can say, I want God, I want peace, I want joy, I want to be with the saints, I want to be with all of my beloved departed family members. But my actions say otherwise. My actions say, no, I prefer right now to receive the enjoyment as much as I can in any way that I can in this life. So Judgment Day is that day on which everything is revealed. St. Paisios tells us a little bit about Judgment Day in this, his book on family life. He says, in the future judgment, the condition of each person will be revealed in an instant, and each person of his own will proceed to where he belongs. Each person will recognize, as if on a television screen, his own wretchedness, as well as the spiritual condition of others. He will reflect upon the other, and he will bow his head and proceed to the place where he belongs. And again, he says, in other words, Christ will not say to you, come here, what did you do? Nor will he say, you go to hell, you go to paradise. Rather, each person will compare himself with the others and proceed to his appropriate place. St. Simeon the New Theologian said, on the fearful day of judgment, each sinful person will simply see, standing opposite them in the eternal life, their fellow human beings, and they will be judged by them. We won't be judged by our fellow human beings as in they will make the judgment. We'll be judged by them because we will make the judgment. We will see who we truly are. And all the ways in which we judge in this life by looking at other people and saying, oh, they're doing this or that, those judgments are partial, incomplete. On Judgment Day, everything will be revealed. Now, imagine right now in this room, every person in this room seeing all of your sin. It's terrifying, and it should be, because that sin is not hidden by God, hidden from God. We try to deceive God and hide it from God, but God, in his love, grieves because the sin is right in front of him, and that sin, however much we try to push it away and hide it away from ourselves, it will still be there. We can't get rid of our sin but by one way. And that one way is repentance and confession. God is not deceived. And all of our brothers and sisters on that day of judgment will not be deceived anymore by who we are. All of our facade will come falling down. We need repentance and confession in this life because through confession, our sins can be washed away. Imagine that. We can confess everything, the very depth of our person and our soul, and then on Judgment Day, nothing is surprising. Nothing surprising. Because what's surprising on Judgment Day for us and terrifying for us on Judgment Day is that we are unwilling to see who we are. We're unwilling to see it. We're unwilling to take ownership of what is mine. It's other people's fault. It's the circumstances of life. It's this, it's that. I need that. This needs to happen in my life, etc., etc. And so instead, we go on and on covering who we really are. My brothers and sisters, the church gives us this Sunday every year as a reminder to us that our time will come when the fullness of who we are will be revealed. And on that day, it's a glorious day for the saints. It's a glorious day for holy people, because on that day, what will be revealed of them will not be surprising to them at all. They know themselves as nothing, as humble, as sinful. They know themselves as that. We ourselves, we hide everything, so we don't know. So the good news is that we're still alive, and we still have time to repent. Don't squander this. Don't turn away from who you are, from all of the rottenness that is inside of each of us, but bring that to God. This is the only path to make our judgment day a day of eternal joy. Amen.